Welcome to Design Expressions, presented by Pacific Sales and Gen Air Luxury Appliances, a podcast about incredible interiors, experiential exteriors, and everything in between, inspired by those crafting exquisite spaces for those who seek them. Hello, everyone. Sean Ayala here, marketing manager at Pacific Sales, a Best Buy company. And I'm here with Fernando Marfel, West Coast lead for sales and marketing with Gen Air. I'm excited to introduce you to Design Expressions presented by Pacific Sales and Gen Air Luxury Appliances. This is a podcast created to guide members of the design trade through this ever-changing industry with ideas for crafting incredible design, CEUs to advance your career, and unique new products and techniques that will make your clients' design dreams a reality. I'm excited for today's guest. Fernando, take it away.
Absolutely. Hello, Sean, for the wonderful introduction. I'm so excited about today's episode because we have a fantastic and talented guest. On the show today, we're speaking with Christy Nelson, managing and principal designer of KM Nelson Design, a firm that she founded back in 2002. Hello, Christy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Fernando? Hi, Sean.
We're so excited. We have so many questions and we want to know more about you and your background. So let's take it away and start with some questions. You ready?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, first of all, we want to know about your life before design. We know that you work in PR. So tell us about that journey. What actually led into this fantastic world of design?
So I actually have worked in a couple of industries. Out of college, I worked in the garment industry in sales. My background is actually in studio art and art history. I have undergraduate and graduate degrees. So did a stint in the garment industry, then worked at a boutique advertising and PR agency for a few years before moving directly into marketing. I worked at 20th Century Fox in their international marketing. And in between there, I did a stint working for an artist and also as an art consultant. And then took some time off to enjoy a year or two before we started our family. And that was 23 years ago. And I took some classes at UCLA Extension. I was taking some art classes so I could start drawing again. And then I was pregnant, and you know, having toxic art materials around with a toddler is not, or a baby, not so great, and fell into a couple of design classes. And the first class actually was a kitchen design class. And I loved it. You know, it was one of those things that was like, I love to cook. I have always been a very spatial thinker. So, and it just kind of everything dovetailed. And, you know, I found myself in interior design and originally specialized in kitchens and bathrooms. And then it broadened. So,
fantastic, you know, background and just career. It seems that every position that you held a role, it was around creativity. I mean, just even on the garment industry or even on the retail side, there was always creativity and inspiration. So can't wait to hear more about it.
Yeah. You know, it really was great because I have this business background, right? Plus I have, I've been drawing since I probably started drawing before I could write my name. My grandfather was an artist who's actually a very talented mechanical artist. And, you know, I grew up drawing with him. And everything with mechanical art is about precision lines. You know, it was in the days when everything was hand-drawn. So, you know, I learned a lot from him. And being able to sort of use my native and natural creativity and ability to draw. And then my educational background and learning about color. And I come from a very Bauhaus educational background, which means color and design were very important. play a big part in my design. So I kind of, you know, I'm thinking spatially, I'm thinking about integrating of, you know, a variety of things, but I'm also thinking about the business side, which then is also, there's a lot of practicality, right? Especially for my clients. So.
Very cool. And it's, so you encourage discovery and vision in creating spaces for your clients. Talk a little bit about that philosophy, because I can see it all as it's tying all together here.
Right. So, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily have the vocabulary, right, to describe a vision. So for me, what I've found is there are kind of two really good ways to go about it. And we spend quite a bit of time with our clients, meeting them, talking to them about what they want, what they don't want, but also walking through the spaces that they're living in now, whether they're remodeling where they're living or building something new. You know, you're already in a place. So if we start from there and kind of talk about, well, within where you are, even if this is a rental, a temporary rental, what don't you like about it? Usually it's easier for people to describe what they don't like than what they do like, right? Because what you do like can get ephemeral. And then also if you've got a couple of spouses or, you know, multiple people, they're not always on the same page. So you get people sort of, you start from the back door of what don't we like, right? And start by a process of elimination. And then we go into, okay, so we know these things are non-starters. Now let's talk about what gets your imagination going. What kind of music do you like? What movies do you like? If you could live in a movie or on a television set, what would it be, right? Because then you're giving them images that they can relate to and go, okay, you know, I love Mad Men, but, you know, I also like something kind of a little more, I don't know, a little more bohemian, like a Friends set from, you know, so you kind of, you give them references and then we can start into, okay, well, what about that? Was it the colors or the patterns or just that it was a very convivial space or, you know, it was formal. So then as we kind of get into visuals that they can wrap their heads around, then we can start working into a little more specific, you know, details of what it was. Because when someone can describe or say, you know, well, I love the Mad Men set, and you start saying, well, okay, so is it the furniture? Well, not really. Okay, so you're not really so much a fan of mid-century. No, but I liked that there was a lot of leather, yeah, or, you know, big windows, or because people don't often, the same thing, you know, you can be, you know, attracted to something without realizing that it's not the whole thing, that it's something very specific. And interestingly, I learned that from my very first clients, who were people that were going to buy the first house that my husband and I owned. And there was a bidding war and they dropped out and they hired me because they said, you know, we realized it wasn't so much the house we liked, but it was the colors and what you did with X, Y, Z. So we've purchased another house and we want you to help us do to it what you did to your house. And that you just sort of, it really said to me, it's very important to start big picture, but then really start drilling down. You know, it's like a spreadsheet. You sort of, you know, you're drilling down into the detail and then you start building back up again, right? And it's a very interesting, it's like archaeology almost. You know, you're going in for the dig and then you start piecing the bones together to get to something, you know, new and different. So,
and then, it's, and how do you, out of curiosity, balance that when, and I don't know if you've had this happen before, but we're in a world where like people are coming with their Pinterest boards. They already have these massive amounts of different creative looks and feels. How do you balance that together to make sure you're creating this cohesive design for them? Because sometimes it could get chaotic, I would imagine.
You know, it can. I think that that's, you know, one of the things that we as designers, you know, that's our expertise, right? Is sort of looking at the morass and being able to pull out the important details. And I think that comes from actually spending time with your client, you know, multiple meetings, multiple conversations. Yes, you can work from Pinterest boards, but it's the same thing. It's like, well, I understand that you like this, but when you start asking them, well, but you know, this is all pink and I didn't think you liked pink. Well, I don't, but I like this pink, or I like it used in this way, or I want a touch of that. Now, it gets interesting when you've got multiple family members, right? So then it's like, well, okay, this one likes this and that one likes that. And I think what makes a really interesting and personal environment is when you start taking all those pieces and creating something that talks to the family or the unit that is living there, versus just going in and saying, okay, I'm going to show you what you're going to get. Or, and also I think getting people away from, you know, nobody lives in a magazine. So let's just drop that right now. Like, let's get away from perfection and, you know, let's talk about like what makes your soul sing. Right. And for me, that's also really important because, you know, at the end of the day, it can be a beautiful project and I can walk out the door and know, okay, that's a great project and I can photograph it. But if when I close that door, those people don't feel like it is their space, then I haven't done my job. And there are multiple ways to get there, but it really just takes time with the client. And it really requires not just listening with your ears, but using the rest of your senses, you know, because there's just like body language can say one thing while a person's words can say something else.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. So when you're meeting the client, and we generally don't do meetings in our office, I do meetings at the client's homes, or even if it's a commercial project at their offices, because A, they're more relaxed, and B, I get to see all the all the nonverbal cues that they aren't going to give me otherwise, you know. How are they living in their environment? How are people coming and going? Is it, you know, do they like to keep the door shut and not see mess, right? Are they formal? Are they, you know, you sort of get all these things that you don't get if they're meeting you in your office. And in order to really create an environment that is reflective of the people who are in it, you need to see how they live in their existing environment. So that's really critical to us. And we have multiple meetings there before we ever start pulling materials or start the design process.
I mean, Sharon, I agree. What a fascinating process and very intimate as well. I would like to learn more about, once you decide on the vision for the project, how do you take it to the actual execution point? I know that's a very vast, you know, steps to get there, but I would love to learn about what's the process for you in getting to that finish line.
So are you talking about on the design side, or are you talking about the full installation?
Probably the design part.
Okay.
Start, yes.
So after we've had, you know, a few meetings, I generally have a pretty strong vision of what our materials are going to be, what the palette is going to be, and, you know, the physical architectural, even if it's a new build, even, you know, on plan, that space, you know, creates the defining limits of what you can and cannot do, right? So then it's a matter of, you know, this is where the spatial evaluation and thought comes in. And I kind of, when I'm looking at, say, a floor plan or sort of architectural drawings, I'm already in my head, I visualize it three-dimensionally. So I see those spaces, you know, it's like the Google Maps when you go to three-dimensional on your car and all the buildings start, like my brain thinks that way. So I can visualize how people are going to move through a space depending on where objects are. So we start sort of blocking out, you know, putting sort of just blocks on the board, seeing how it feels, you know, in our heads to kind of move around that space. And based on what the client has told us they need, is how we start setting things up. Because, you know, designing, say, a kosher kitchen versus the conventional kitchen are extremely different processes, and how you're going to fit multiple appliances into a space and keep, you know, kosher, keep your dairy and your meat separate, and those things requires, you know, it's a much more complicated process than it is to design a conventional kitchen. And the one thing that I was taught, which I really appreciate, I was always taught that actually the whole kitchen triangle thing is just a joke. Like, don't go there. Think about a kitchen like a restaurant in zones. What's your wet zone? What's your cleanup zone? You know, what's your cooking zone? And how do you work through that space so that you don't have crossover? Because that's how people get hurt. That's how accidents happen, right? So you sort of, there are logical traffic patterns, whether it's in a living room or a kitchen or a bathroom. And as you think about those, that itself starts to say, okay, this is where this belongs. This is where this belongs. So we go there, then we start putting it on paper and we go back to the client, usually with no more than two options, because usually there's no more than two really good ways to go about something. And you also don't want to confuse somebody and give them too much, right? Because we've gone through that process in our heads. So then we go back to them and say, okay, here's this option and here's this option. And here are the materials that we feel are best suited. And this is what this looks like. And we take them very strong visuals. We do elevations that are illustrated. Even the plan view is illustrated. So they see how the materials flow from space to space, floor, walls, whatever. And providing a client with those kind of visuals is the strongest way to get, you know, our vision across and for them to see what we're looking at.
It sounds that you have dissected the lifestyle of your clients in a way. Sorry, can you hear me?
I didn't hear the first part.
I know. So to me, it sounds that you have dissected the lifestyle of your clients. Mm-hmm. In a way, you're actually providing options to complement the lifestyle and how they live, and how your design is going to enhance the overall, you know, needs of that design vision. So now moving to the next step. So you already finalized the design. Now let's go into the actual execution of completing the project. So that will be all the way down to the installation, right? So specifically these past 2 years, I'm sure it's been very challenging. So I would love to hear about your process and some of the challenges that as a design icon you're facing out there with your projects.
Well, I want to start first with, you know, we're very fortunate to be in Los Angeles because we have so many resources available to us, you know, workrooms, cabinet makers, all those things that a lot of people, you know, through the country don't necessarily have access to. And that has helped us, I think, substantially. But one of the things that we do when we create our specifications is we create actually a spec book before we start. And that includes every last item, whether it's construction items, you know, whatever the materials are, architectural details, anything to do with construction. We have a full binder and we give that to the general contractor when we hand them the plans, so that they can start ordering immediately. And we actually separate it by trade as well. So we have a section that is just plumbing. We have a section that is just paint that is, you know, so it's by trade. And then they can take that portion of our specs and give it to their to their contractor and say, here you go. This is what you need for this. So from the beginning, before they ever start working, they know what they need, right? So that's always been very important to us. And, you know, as you know, I mean, at one point appliances were, you know, whatever, 9-12 month backlog. So getting those kinds of orders in way ahead of time is really important. You can't make that decision or be placing an order 2 months before you need it on site. It's not going to be there. needs to be, you know, those orders need to be placed, those purchases need to be made 6 months at minimum in advance so that they're sitting there and, the, you know, you're not delaying the process. And it's the same thing on the decor side. You know, we have it all mapped out. Some of it may change, but we generally have it all mapped out with some room for navigation. Things do change as you go. But I think the last couple of years have really taught everyone that it's not only important to be very well pre-planned, but to allow yourself room to, you know, make changes, make substitutions on the fly if something becomes available. And it's required us to push clients too. You know, like we can't have you waffling. We need to make this decision and go because here are the consequences. So I think communication with the client has become even more critical than it was before. And also when something is delayed or something is going to take a long time, you know, here's our situation. Do you love something? It's going to be a 24-month wait at minimum, or do you want to substitute it? How attached are you? So we give them the option as well. You know, on the decorating side, it's a lot easier to say, hey, you know, these items aren't going to be ready, but we can start an install now. And we will piecemeal installs. I try not to do true piece by piece, but, you know, if we can do a room by room or most of a room, we will. And then also it saves, the clients appreciate it because it saves them money. Things are not sitting in storage for, you know, many, many, many months just because we're waiting on two other items, right, to complete something. And they feel like they're getting something. And that's, I think, keeping people informed, keeping, you know, feeding them things as they come, at least, you know, there's a sense of fulfillment with a client. And, okay, well, where's all my money going? Doesn't become a, I'm never yep. going to see anything. So that's kind of been, you know, I think that's what's really changed. And we've always kind of done more of a space by space, or, you know, not so much a big reveal because our projects are, you know, 2 and 3 years long. So nobody wants to wait for that, especially if it's, you know, well, whatever the situation. I just feel like, we're giving you something, you know, you see something for the money that you're spending. So yeah, so that's kind of how we do it. It's as things come, we put them in, but we really have to be ahead of the game, you know, every step of the way, and then, you know, be able to be flexible and adjust to whatever gets thrown at us.
I love it. You talked about opportunities. You talked about challenges. You talked about communication. There's a ton of things there that I would love to break down, but specifically from a technology perspective. Like, so we've learned a lot these last couple of years, the way we work with clients, the way you communicate, again, the way that you're identifying opportunities and even resources, because you have access, like you mentioned, to a ton more resources where you are. How have technology helped you or changed the way you work with others and the way you design? What innovations have you seen or are using today that is supporting everything you just mentioned?
Spending a lot more time with people, either FaceTime or, you know, Zoom or whatever, because, you know, if we couldn't get to the client, right, to show them something, it's okay. Well, this is the visual, right? I'm showing you here. I can send you links to these things. And then if you say that you like them, then I'll send you a physical sample, right, of these things. I'm not going to bombard you, but, I will get you physical samples to look at, to touch, to consider to the degree that I can, so that you feel involved. And, you know, having in some ways, I think spending more time on Zoom, spending more face-to-face time, you know, even on phone, on FaceTime with clients, in some ways, actually, we're spending more time with a client than we even did when we could be with them physically through that time, right? So technology was fantastic for that because it kept us connected. and even with our vendors, because I like to go to my workrooms and see how things are going, because I'm a control freak, and that's part of why my clients hire me. It's like, we know that you will catch things.
Yep.
And I want to catch it in the process, not after the fact, right? When it's better to fix what, you know, while you're in it than to fix it after. So being able to have video communication with our vendors and our workrooms was, you know, that was a huge, huge benefit. Certainly we used Pinterest more than we ever did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever kind of platforms to share ideas and concepts was definitely big. And actually we went to using a lot more 3D than we had ever used before during this time.
Very cool.
And actually I think that changed quite a bit for us. Instead of just elevations and two-dimensional, that's been a big change for us.
I think we can all relate to being on Zoom, being virtual. That's definitely been the environment for the last 18 months plus, right? But speaking of technology, what are some technology innovations that you've seen for the kitchen appliances? Of course, Sean and I, we love kitchen appliances. I represent an appliance brand, Jenner, as you know. So we actually seen our users, our consumers, asking for more innovation in the kitchen because they're spending more time at home. So what are some technologies out there that you are utilizing or specifying in your projects?
You know, my clients tend to be a little more old school. So if they're going technology, it's maybe in their laundry room and having, you know, smart washers, dryers. But in the kitchen, it would be more with in kosher kitchens, which the technology for Sabbath mode has been around, but it has gotten so much better. Things like that, I think, have been such amazing additions, right, to what appliances can do, because, you know, technology has a strong place for people who might have physical challenges, right? Or if you are a working mom or a working parent and you want to get something started, or yes, you know, I'm at the grocery, I forget what I needed, like, you know, let me tap into my refrigerator and, you know, see what it's tracking, or my wine room, like what, you know, what bottles have I taken out? What have I added? And the trackers that, you know, so all of that I think is really fantastic. And honestly, I wish that my clients would do more of it, because I'm like, this is fun stuff that I get to play with.
Of course. And you brought up a great point. Sabbath mode, not too many people think about it, but of course, big community, that Sabbath is very important. And a luxury brand, not to make it a marketing plug, Jenner offers a Sabbath mode in, of course, kosher rated, rated cooking appliances. So when you're looking for a luxury brand and that's important for your client, make sure that you're reviewing if that's being one of the offerings. But technology are so many things. It's not just about connectivity. It's not about making the cooking experience easier. It's about also being quiet, right? You want to make sure that your appliances, you know, those DVAs, the sound, it's minimum or actually not even possible to hear it for the human ear. And that's so important to have a luxury selection of brands that offers that quiet, almost like whisper type of technology that we call it. But also energy efficient, even though it may sound like a saver of energy, it's not about that. It's about investing on products that is going to give you that peace of mind, that energy efficient, that is also water efficient, either on laundry or dishwashers, for example. So hopefully that's important and top of mind with the clients that you are specifying for.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because sometimes clients are less, you'd be surprised okay, well, this is going to save me this much. May not necessarily, because they'll be like, well, you know, I'm only going to be here for a few years, or I'm not going to, you know, that's just long-term. But when we talk to them about it and say, you know, you're really talking about the environment. Yes, it's saving you money, but, you know, let's look at what the impact has on the environment. And, you know, whatever you think your small part is, your small part matters. My clients tend to listen to that even more than, you know, this is saving me pennies on the dollar. It's, oh, I can do my part. I can do something good. I can, you know, lessen my impact. To your point, that's really important. And it's very important to me. And yes, I mean, I love whisper quiet dishwashers. I mean, how many times have any of us, you know, turned it on, forgotten it was on, and then go, you know, because they're so quiet, you go open it and it's running. You're like, ah, shut that quick. But it is fantastic. You know, I mean, it's just the, all of those things have not only made our lives better, but, you know, anything that we can do to do our part for the planet is really, really important.
Just to close on that topic, everybody's working at home. The majority of people are still virtually working. And today I'm working from my kitchen and I have my dishwasher running. So it's very important to have a quiet dishwasher and even refrigerators running next to me. Thank you for that answer, Christy.
Yeah, so I guess we can call it an interview. I mean, this was incredible, Christy. I appreciate the insight, the knowledge. I mean, the just addressing challenges and opportunities. Are there any final words or thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I would just say, well, first of all, I want to say that I love, love, love the Jenner Black Interior range, the noir and the, I mean, they're so chic. So I love that you guys came out with that. You know, I just think it's really important for people to be aware of, you know, brands like Jenner and the innovations that they are making, and that you offer such a broad price point, and yet the quality of the product is so strong that there is something there for everyone. And, you know, it's one of the brands that I definitely try to wake my clients up to, you know, that it's not just kind of these big three. There is, you know, it's a broader market, and they're, you know, Jenner products are fantastic and, you know, visually have a lot to offer, that some of it surprising, like a black interior.
Very cool. Yeah, I absolutely love the product. I love that Jenner in general is pushing the limits on creativity, design, with their product. I mean, it is just fantastic. So kudos to Jenner. Is there any, actually, let's end with this before Fernando wraps it up, wraps this all up. Christy, where can people find you and learn more about you?
So the company is KM Nelson Design, and they can reach me directly, Christy, K-R-I-S-T-I, at KM Nelson Design, or they can just look up KM Nelson Design on the web and we will pop up. We'd love to talk to people.
And thank you, Sean, for the shout out to Jenner Appliances. And of course, you can find Jenner Appliances at our fantastic partners, Pacific Sales, all over Southern California. So thank you for listening for this episode of Design Expressions, presented by Pacific Sales and Jenner Luxury Appliances. And a special, special thanks to Christy Nelson, from KM Nelson Design. To learn more about her and the firm, please follow the notes on the podcast and check out some of the links. While you're checking those out, you will also find additional links to Pacific Sales, a Best Buy company, and Jenner Luxury Appliances. Christy, thank you so much. We'll see you soon. In Peeling Back the Layers, uncover what matters most. That is the ethos of finding the true design. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you in the next episode.